Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. And if you really don't mind holding your finger in 1 Corinthians 15, when we get there, you know we're done. Title of our sermon today is simply, Your Shield. Your Shield. I would like to thank the Lord for allowing this outpost of faith to have proclaimed the gospel message for 66 years. I would like to thank Pastor Lance for allowing me to speak on this special milestone of the Covenant Baptist Church. I'd like to say that we are blessed to have Pastor Ken Lance as our pastor and Brother Stephen to work with him. I think it is a blessing to our church, and we are privileged to have them both serving here. And I'd like to thank my wife, Donna. I don't know how many of you know this, but this coming June, we will celebrate 50 years of marriage. That's just a hint, folks. This coming when? June 8th, 50 years. That's just amazing, isn't it? It's a bittersweet thought with the passing of our founding pastor, Reverend Ted Madonna. All of our charter members have gone to their eternal reward. And now just a handful of the children of charter members are still here. But we are glad that we can continue to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ from behind this pulpit. Would you please stand with me as we read from the book of Ephesians chapter 6. We'll begin reading at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words of encouragement, these words of admonition, that, Lord, the battle continues, but we're to take on the whole armor of God that we may stand for the cause of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you, Lord, for the men and women who down through the years have called it their home. And, Lord, we pray that we would remain faithfully serving you until you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And I will continue to read at verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Kimbrough, and I have no idea who he is, but he said, remember, with your shield or on it. In other words, take your shield into battle. And if you pass, you then can be carried from the battle on your shield. Can I tell you this, folks? We need to keep our shield. We need to have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible is full of historical events, including, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But you know, there are historic events that down through the years, that if they had not happened the way they did, a lot of things would be different today. Can I tell you this, that because the Wolverines won yesterday, it really isn't earth-shattering, is it? You know, the fact of the matter is, in 5 years, nobody will really remember. But there are events in our history that really have made a difference. And as an introduction to my sermon, I would like to talk to you about a couple of those events. It was circa May 1940. The German army has rode over half a dozen European countries. The Soviet Union has signed a non-aggressive pact with Germany. And America stood on the sidelines. At this time of great peril, it was Britain alone that faced the Nazi army. Oh, they still had some of the French army also, but really it was going to be the British people who would make a difference. The German army had pushed the retreating British and French armies to a small area around the French port city of Dunkirk. And maybe you've heard of Dunkirk. Can I say this? If you haven't, you need to look into its history. Some estimated 350,000 soldiers were trapped between the advancing German army and the English Channel. But God was in control. Often he allows men to have their own way before he steps in. When the Allied armies were all but ready to surrender, surprisingly, the Germans halted their advance. This pause gave the British time to send out a call for help. From along the British coastline, sailors and civilians alike came in barges, tugboats, small fishing boats, private yachts. More than 800 boats of all types and sizes, along with ships from the British Army, and ferried the Allied soldiers across the channel to Britain and saved them from almost certain destruction. From World History for Christian Schools come this thought. When the peril of the British Army became known, Christians throughout the British Empire prayed for God to deliver them. A close examination of the events of the rescue of Dunkirk show how God granted deliverance in the midst of seemingly hopeless circumstances, unquote. For whatever reason, the advancing German Panzer Division stopped 12 miles short of Dunkirk. In reality, the British Army was defeated. The French Army was defeated. They were being pushed back against the sea, and the tank divisions of the German Army stopped. Hitler, thinking there was little hope of the Allies escaping, ordered this halt. He agreed with many of his top aides that annihilation of the trapped Allied Army could be left to the Luftwaffe, who they believed would annihilate the British Army in 3 days. They believed they would just simply bomb them out of existence. But the German Air Force was thwarted by bad weather, pouring rain, fog, and low cloud cover hindered their attempts. Also, the notorious treacherous channel weather was unusually cooperative. Prevailing winds were light and westerly. Had they been strong and northerly, which is often the case, the rescue would have been much more difficult. And wave heights were lower than normal. Because the beaches were covered with haze and dense fog, the returning German pilots reported that wave after wave of bombers had lack of good bombing conditions, which resulted in helping save the British and French soldiers. Do you think that was by chance? You know, it's good to know that we serve a living God. For 9 days, the rescue mission brought back over 350,000 soldiers. Two-thirds were British who would be able to storm the beaches on D-Day. But this miracle of Dunkirk was not the end of the war. Far from it. Now came the true battle of Britain. Adolf Hitler is quoted as saying, "Where Napoleon failed, I shall succeed. I shall land on the shores of Britain." May we state here, he did not. Hitler believed, get command of the air, and he tried. Ponder this, because men were more valuable than equipment, the British Army left their armament back in France. They only had one tank for every 1,000 square miles. One tank. They only had one machine gun for every 1,500 yards of beach. In reality, the German army could have come across the channel and simply walked into Britain. Why didn't they? Because they believed they could do it from the air. The German Air Force outnumbered the Royal Air Force, or the RAF, 10 to 1. 10 to 1. It was at this time that Churchill said, "We shall defend our island whatever the cost. We shall never surrender." May I say this to you that are Bible-believing Christians? Never surrender. Keep your shield. Remain strong in the faith so that we can continue as an outpost of faith to continue to proclaim the glorious riches of Jesus Christ. Some call it Britain's darkest hours. Can I say this, that through the years of Christianity, there have been dark hours? There have been times when the Christians of certain nations were hunted down and persecuted and tortured. They were put up as streetlights in the city of Rome, oiled and set on fire. Did it stop the Christian faith? It did not. Some say that there are more born-again believers in China than there are in the United States of America. Because communism cannot stop Christianity. We need to realize that we need to continue to stand for Christ. Night after night, the German Air Force came, trying not to only defeat the British armed forces, but to demoralize the British people. You see, all that stood between Britain and France was 21 miles of water. And it took the average German plane 8 minutes to cross it. And the British people knew they were coming because of radar. They came by the dozens, fighters and bombers. There were 26 major bombing attacks on London and major cities in the first 10 days. They came at night. They'd black out the city. Can you imagine the whole city of London just suddenly disappearing as every light was turned off? Not even a cigarette could be lit. And the British Air Force sent up their Spitfires and Hurricanes against this great odd. Over the space of 1 year, the German Air Force lost 2,375 planes and their crews. It was because of this great sacrifice and determination of the RAF that Winston Churchill made this stirring statement. "Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed to so few." You say, "Pastor Paul, why are you telling us this?" Because if they had not been willing to sacrifice, when the Americans finally got into World War II, they would have had to battle themselves into Europe from a whole different location than what they did. They were able to come to Britain, and from Britain they could go on D-Day into Europe. Because there were men and women who were willing to sacrifice. And I say this, though Winston Churchill said this about his Air Force, I can say this about men and women of the Covenant Baptist Church. that the world should be grateful that there were a handful of men and women who had a desire to begin a Bible teaching, Bible preaching church, that were willing in 1956 with my dad and my mother and two young boys and a handful of people. Right down here on Canal Road, the house is still there where the Covenant Baptist Church began. And through the years, as it evolved, there were great days. Oh, there have been the mountaintops and there have been the valley lows. But the church continues. We've lost people to heaven's reward down through the years. I could mention name after name of people that God used to help make the Covenant Baptist this outpost of faith. Now, one of the advantages that I have is this was my home church. Of its 66 years, I've been here probably 62 of them, other than when I was in Bible college in Texas. I've been here. I can name people after people who have served this church well. But past victories does not guarantee future success, achievements, and/or triumphs. Growth is necessary. Stability is necessary. Longevity is necessary. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." The past is important, but so is the future. Having done all to stand, if you would, there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren," finally what? "Be strong in the pocketbook, in your savings account," what? "Be strong in the Lord." How? "In the power of his might." In his might. Verse 11. "Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Folks, we need to be armed. We need to have our armor on. Why? "That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Wiles. That's not a word that we use very often, but it means trickery, deception, deceit, fraud, counterfeit. Brother Lance talks about counterfeit and how Satan uses counterfeit things to make us go in the wrong direction. Verse 12 tells us that we are not battling against mankind, but who are we battling against? Spiritual wickedness and darkness. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Why is it that we have a nation that's so divided over abortion? You know, there's pro-life and then pro-choice. But is pro-choice really pro-life? It's pro-death. Proposal 3 is for death. That's right. Can you imagine that we are people who scream and yell and they just say, "Oh, you can't take away this right." Is it a right to kill a human being? When I was in high school, and Donna, that's getting too far away, I remember the posters that said, "Save the seals." Maybe you remember seeing it. And there'd be a little baby seal there in the snow. And we were supposed to save the baby seals. And we were supposed to save the American eagle. What about the human baby? Yesterday, Donna and I were out with our neighbor. He has a couple of classic cars. And we went cruising. Can I say that we went cruising in his Bonneville from the 1960s? It's like a boat. Yeah. You just float down the road. And we were eating afterwards, and he said one of the problems in America is the immorality that is running rampant. We live in a very immoral society against spiritual darkness. What can we say about evolution? It's a terrible theory, and yet people try to cram it down our throats. Verse 13, it's another warning and command to take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Can I tell you what? We live in an evil day. To withstand means to oppose, to defy, to confront, to resist, to endure, to weather the storm. And we need to stand in an evil day. Isaiah said, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them. And we live in a society that calls evil good and good evil. And we know that. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah wrote in chapter 17, verse 9. But then in verses 14 through 18, we find the armor. Stand therefore. How? Number one, having your loins girt about with truth. Folks, we live in a world of false news. We live in a world that teaches us things and crams things down our lives, and we have to wonder who's behind it. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, we need people who are right in the Lord, that don't just go to church, but live a righteous life. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. As our nation and world drifts from the gospel, we are becoming more ungodly. As our churches forget their true calling, we give ourselves over to the evil doctrines and teachings of the devil and his followers. We need the gospel of Christ. Fourth, above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield. Remember, with your shield or on it, when we go to battle, we need our shield. Paul, writing when he did under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, knew what the Roman shield meant to the soldiers and how they used them to defeat their enemies. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. My brother Jim in Sunday school talked about being thankful. And we are thankful to live in the United States of America in 2022. But can I tell you this, that sometimes our wealth is a curse? We've taken our eyes off the Lord and we've put it on things. I don't usually talk about my wife because usually at the end of the service she fusses at me. But I'm going to say something. As you see, she has that bright orange cast on her arm. And for a while, she was on narco. You know what that is? A pain medicine. You know what she did while she was on narco? She kept Amazon alive. So 2 days ago, we had to return everything. While we were returning everything, 8 people got in behind us waiting to return stuff. We have so much, so many things are available, and we forget what's really important. We're to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Folks, this is precious. This book is precious. Yet I was listening to Joel Osteen a number of years ago. He used half a verse, and he misrepresented that. Folks, we need the Word of God, and you should be glad that we are a Bible-preaching church. Now, I like to say we're Eaton Baptists, but you know what's more important is that we're Bible Baptists, that the Bible is important. Praying always. To the kings, when I heard the other day that your son had passed away, I thought to myself, we've been praying that God's will be done. And sometimes God's will is hard. I remember a few years ago, we were down in Amish country in Berlin, and we walked into a store and we heard a piano being played. And it was Chris playing the piano down there. I've never forgotten that. I thought, wow, that's pretty music. And he was playing music there in a store in Berlin, Ohio. But folks, we need to pray. We need to pray for this coming election. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray that the Covenant Baptist Church will continue to grow and to be used of God. The Lord Jehovah, through Ezekiel, says, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Wouldn't it be sad if God was searching for a man and a woman to stand in the gap in America today and he couldn't find any? You know, just because America has been great doesn't mean it will continue to be great. Over the years, I told you that God has blessed America with gospel preaching churches. And we need to pray God would continue to bless America with gospel preaching churches. So where did I tell you to turn to so you knew the message was over? 1 Corinthians 15, are you there? Are you getting hungry? You in the back probably can smell the aroma of the food coming up the steps. Guy, are you okay back there? Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, the greatest verse on commitment in the Bible. Amen. Therefore, my beloved, wouldn't it have been great for the Apostle Paul to call you beloved? My beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Shall we stand?